Hey, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
In the last days, so I'ma steady put you first to my last day. Even if I stand alone, I know it's better than conforming to a world morals are irrelevant. It's so evident we lie to feel accepted. The face behind the mask is afraid to be rejected. So we neglect the intellect that our spirit speaks. We search the world to be content but never finding peace. That piece of our peace is only found in you. We're puzzled but the puzzle piece is missing truth. Look around, it's like we searching for that blues clue. We got the knowledge but we do the things that fools do. That's why I gotta be the difference. It's time to redefine the meaning of a Christian. These hypocrites don't make the people wanna listen. So instead, they support these rappers killing off our children. So many rappers, so much talent. Competing for a title, man, I just let them have it. They trying to be the best, but I know the greatest. They trying to make it big, I know the one who made it. I hit a model rapper who's a Christian. Some put the rapper first just to get the world to listen, and I get it. But sometimes they take it out of context. Forget about God, they tryna be the one who got next. And we've been purchased by the king, but too many of our souls are repossessed because of greed. Now wait a minute, understand what I mean. Sit, we always wanna take, but we ain't never taking heed. The American dream, we work hard so we can live it out. But God can bless America if we kick him out. And what's the point of standing up if we ain't standing out? It's time to start living this life that we preach about. I wake up every morning to a sick church. Christian rappers only real focus is a sick verse. It gets worse, we're robbing them like a snatched purse. Oh yeah, we're quick to sell them God, but never teach them how to put them first. So I'ma go and say it first. Christianity is more than just a message on your t-shirt. And it's more than a religion that the world hates. It's that hope you never had in the first place. See, he's that cool in your hot day. He's that smile on your hot day. He's like dinner on a Sunday. You know when grandma cooking and she pack you that to-go plate. It's the little things that we take for granted. Like they ask what's going on, now you aggravated. You don't trust nobody, you say love is overrated. But God is love, you just being complicated. See, love is always bigger than its context. That's probably why we take it out of context. See, we done turned love into a contest. These women coming for your man like I got next. We got to book a life, but no class. And some of y'all will do anything for a Boaz. And after this, most of y'all gonna be real mad. Man, I'm mad too, why you think I just now? We try to use the world to define us. Man, we so lost that the lost trying to find us. And God said he looking like rise up. And if you selling out, boy, get your price up. God wants the ones who carry their cross. Look, it's time to rise up. Man, church, take off. I ain't trying to throw stones to seek you off. I'm just saying, the shoe fits, then kick it off.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now.
Oh, wow. You know what, guys? This whole time, anybody who was on the show and listening, I'm over here mute. and I was talking on mute. So just as a recap, I just wanted to thank everyone who joined us on the radio and joined us here in Block Talk Radio, our Facebook family and our Zoom family. Just thank you for joining us on today. I just wanted to share that we are dedicating the month of June to fathers. To the Godheads, and also to our sons, brothers, and young kings, those who walk like soldiers in our community, and also just not that, and just the fathers, but and this is nothing. This is no divide. There's no divide. We're talking about all of our brothers in the kingdom of God, and that's inclusive of all our brothers. All of our sons, mm-hmm. all of our fathers who were moving and walking like kings, who were moving and walking as kings, who were moving and walking and putting up that and standing in the front lines on the battlefront for us all. And there's plenty of us. So I just want to dedicate that, in honor of all of our brothers and fathers out here, sons who are in every community across this nation, across this globe, actually. So we're going to bring some good and great topics and just some honor of those who are absolutely doing good. Shout out to Infradishi, Mr. Rob, David E. Banks. I could think of a few folks, John Levy. Those are people that stand out for me in our community. And I don't like to just say some names, but, you know, I had to because these men have been stand up for me in my community. My Uncle William Diaz. I love you. Love you dearly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My Uncle CG, Shatik. We've got to, can't do anything without mentioning Shaptique, of course, Terry Hollis, and of course, our dear and beloved Lee Gilliard. We love you. So much support and love that always comes you. Uncle C, Uncle Richard, Uncle Johnny. Okay, that's all I can think of. But those men stand out to me who have been conducive in the community, contributing in the community, and to the support of our family and the unity that we need so much. And so dearly. So,
and
you're on.
I want to give a shout out to all of the fathers, uncles, uncle fathers, men who may not be fathers biologically, but fathers to others and to a community. They move silently and they do what they do. I just want to give a shout out to those who are unheard, unseen, as they do what they do. And standing in the gap for the missing fathers that are in place. And then I also want to say to the fathers who don't quite got it right yet, we still rooting for you. We still love you, and we still respect you in your growth process, and we're praying for you. It's going to be okay.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Shout out to all the sleeping Godheads. That's how I'll just leave it at that. To all the sleeping Godheads, may one day you wake. And how awesome it'll be.
That's interesting you said that, because when I think about our fathers and sons in the community, those who are still in the process of deliverance and those who are still in the process of growing up and what role we play. I was actually speaking with someone, I think it was just on today. We were talking about the role that we play as women and as leaders in these men's lives, in these sons' lives. You know, what are we doing to contribute to the deliverance of these troubled young men, those who are troubled or struggling? You know, there's a lot that comes up against the men in the body of Christ and in the kingdom. Just when we talk about spiritual warfare immediately, you know, we know that they're first in line for the attack and the breakdown in the vision of a family. When I say family, I don't mean just the blood relatives, but the breakdown in the division of God's kingdom, what happens, you know.
Right.
Is my son my brother first? You know, I often talk to you about that when we would talk about my nephew. And for those of you who know, I raised my nephew as my son. I've loved him as my son. But there was a time where our relationship shifted and did some type of turn. It not only shifted and did some type of turn, it was a loop. I realized that I was angry. I was very angry with him. So, do you recall that, Monica, when I shared that with you? I was my relationship with him. In other words,
yeah.
I was very angry with him because there were some things that he was doing that I just didn't agree with. So I started my action and the way I was communicating with him and around him was out of anger. I was angry. I was past disappointment pointed. I was angry. And I didn't think about what I was doing to contribute to his demise. I didn't stop long enough to think about the way that I perceived him as a God young man. I didn't think about seeing him the way God saw him. All I saw was somebody I felt like I did not like. And that happens a lot in our community when we talk about our young brothers and the fathers, these young kings, these men, let's just say men, you know, when we talk about these men that are still struggling and looking for deliverance, there's not enough people in place to say, wait a minute, you're accountable. First of all, we've got to hold everyone accountable. But we can hold people accountable
right.
without carrying them. We can hold people accountable and making sure that we deliver them to the place of deliverance. Are we ushering our young men to deliverance? You know, or are we trying to bet them? Are we trying to manipulate them? Are we trying to control them to do what we feel like they should be doing?
They should be doing, absolutely.
These were all the lessons that I had to learn just in seeing myself in that relationship with my son. And I realized that there was a lot of manipulation. You know, when we talk about stealing birthrights, this is what's happened to our men in our community. The birthrights were stolen. There's been so many things that are happening in the kingdom. And our men, their birthright as kings, their inheritance from God is being snatched right from out under them, being snatched out from under them. And I think about the way that there's so many different aspects to the way, I don't know if you guys remember Jacob and Reuben and how the mother had plotted and put them against each other. It was an illegal act to steal someone's birthright and period.
Hey.
Especially, you know, yeah, back during the day. And so there was a deception. There was a deception that had to happen when she sent the younger son in to deceive the father to receive the birthright. There had to be a lot of manipulation. But I often ask myself, and this was the revelation that I got, Monica, and I know I shared this with you. What part of it in my anger did I act not just towards my son but any other brother that has come in my life that made me angry or didn't do things the way I thought they should do or offended me or hurt me or misused me or was misguided or just did something that whether it broke my heart, because, you know, these men come in a form of not just pastors and leaders. These men come in a form of romantic relationships, relatives, people we look up to that we allow to get really, really close to us. And I often ask myself, did I ever stop to pray first and make sure that I wasn't moving in anger? And I absolutely was. I was moving in a lot of anger, and I was very angry, and I didn't. The other thing that began the process for me that I know was not in alignment with God was I did not trust him. And because I didn't trust him, I was not wholeheartedly honest in my relationship because I didn't trust him. So there were certain things that I wouldn't share. I wonder how often we do that when we don't feel that we can share openly and honestly. Because, you know, if you don't trust somebody, you don't trust what they're capable of, then you can't really be 100%. You can't really be 100%. When that trust is devastated, that's really hard. That's a really hard topic, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a real hard topic to even follow because it takes a lot of spiritual growth and self-awareness to say, wait a minute, I'm moving out of alignment with God. I'm moving out of alignment with what happens in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm moving out of alignment because now I've got to tap into a place of myself in my flesh to not just be angry, but to make sure that I'm safe because I don't want anyone to use me or hurt me. So let me put my guards up and my defenses up. You see how subtly that happens? You start doing all those things. Now I'm activating the flesh. And boom! Now I'm moving in a way that has nothing to do with who I am, and going back to a default character, you know, and to doing things that I have no business doing, you know. So when that revelation hit me, I had to deal with my son in an entirely different way. I had to speak to him, and begin to speak to him to understand that he is a king. And that he is worthy. Just because he's not where he thinks that he should be or where I think that he should be, he's still worthy. He is still worthy of knowing. So all the young men who are, if you're listening, you know, out there right now, there is hope and opportunity for you too. There's hope and opportunity. It's not over. It's certainly not over. There's a growth in process, a revelation in process, and then there's that breakthrough, and then the revealing that says, hey, this is who you are. This is why you went through that. This is the purpose for what happened. And it also leads us back to a place of accountability. That is just something that's just always sticking out to me, Monica, is accountability, you know, what's really happening, and then what's really happening in not just in the community, but in our homes and how we're speaking.
You know what?
Yeah, how we speak to each other, how we speak to our children, you know, young men, how we speak to people generally, how do we speak to ourselves?
How we speak to young men, how do we speak to, just period. What I was thinking about, I was reflecting back on I don't know, I've always kind of, you know, I've always been kind of fluid, but I remember one of the biggest life lessons that I had to learn as a woman is that having a son and then dealing with the fact that the father and I are not connected in a way where we can both be able to raise him effectively, you know, that part is not in place. So what I had to do was I had to, you know, remember you, quote, you know, walking me through this situation and saying some people are not capable. You have to respect where they are in their upbringing, but you also have to allow God to do what he's going to do in the process. You have to trust the process. We had to do that. You were not the only one who was angry with, you know, with my brother. I was angry with him as well. You know, as women, we're doing the most. So from a sibling standpoint, you know, we got to watch our brothers from a mother's standpoint, we got to watch our sons, our brothers, husbands, and then, you know, there's a whole community of baby mamas and baby daddies. There's a whole community mm-hmm. of broken families that are not connected or together in a relationship, co-parenting. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. for all the mothers, it's important to know that just because we're mothers and we're custodially responsible, or we're the ones holding the custody of the son, just sons now,
mm-hmm.
daughters too, because that's an important factor. The biggest thing that you have to understand is we're women and we're mothers. We know how to mother. But a father is a father, and we cannot try to stipulate, because this is mm-hmm. what I almost found myself doing at one point, is stipulating how he is going to father my son. One of the mm-hmm. biggest, like for me, it became, you know what, I cannot sit and have an idea of how I want him to father my son. He has to be able to father his son the way he knows how to father his son. Whichever that process is, that's his walk, that's his journey, that's his enlightenment. And the only thing that I did was I said, let me open the door. Now, whether they choose to walk through that door is another thing. Speaking to the single sisters out here dealing with baby daddies, and, you know, this whole connection thing, we got to be careful not to leave our men vulnerable and tore up. A lot of these men are out here hurting and on child support, nooses around their neck, you know, unnecessarily. Some of them, their hand got to be forced. I respect whatever that decision is when you're saying, okay, you got to take care of your responsibility, accountability. Mm-hmm. But when you are just despitefully throwing, you know, the men under the bus, sending them to court, standing before a judge and Uncle Sam and going, here, put the noose around his neck because he not paying for this child. He ain't doing what I want him to do, and he out here with other females. You hurt the son and you hurt the father. You keep and you hinder the father from even getting to
when it's being done out of anger. Yeah, especially
right,
when it's being
done out of
anger.
And
I
how many relationships
that,
like that, the youth right now, the young girls, they're in relationships. These relationships are not, they haven't been guided by the, you know, the new big mamas is out here in these streets. So,
well,
you know this is different.
There's a fine line between that because, you know, when we talk about marriage and community and family standards that may have been initiated the right way, a lot of women have to go to that child support court. And then when you talk about mothers who are, what if they're dependent upon government assistance? They have no other choice but to go through that child support. And these are all the places when I say, you know, what are we doing in our communities to make sure that we're ministering to these young men? Because there are many people who have children and who have to form a relationship with someone who doesn't know how to be a father. Just alone on the statistics, and in the United Kingdom, they started and opened up a mass movement for men support groups. And the reason why they did that, they did these, and they're popping up all across the United Kingdom. The reason why they did that, there's a men support group that men, boys do cry, and they need to cry. And then there's another movement I found that I thought was really interesting. I was taught about this program back in 2018 called the Good Men Project. And the Good Men Project dealt with things such as racism, sexism, homophobia, white supremacy, climate change, climate activism, negativity, polarization, and abuse. But now let's talk about some of the issues that we're all dealing with and what these men deal with too, not just us. But how about anger management?
Right.
Understanding their emotions and the dynamics of anger, their distorted thinking. Distorted thinking. We all know that. And what about anxiety and depression?
What about undiagnosed?
Right, undiagnosed mental illnesses, being able to manage stress.
Or behavioral conditions.
Mm-hmm. What about family dynamics? You know, the family dynamics is not pushed like it used to be. There's people don't sit at the table anymore and eat and raise their children
and
around
raise
a conversation. Right. Prayer
right.
has become a thing of convenience. Well, I'm going to pray when I feel like it, and I'm going to pray when it's convenient.
I'm going to pray to pay these bills.
Right, that kind of
you
thing.
You know, and then once everything is flying right, that's it. And then, oh snap, it's a little bit of turbulence. Hold up, let me get my prayer book out. You know, let me go and jump on a prayer line.
So these are the issues that these young men are dealing with. They're not just police brutality and things of that nature. What's happened, and this is just my belief, and I strongly believe this, is that when the family dynamics change, and this has nothing to do with two-parent homes, but the ability to reach
right.
and speak to your children and have a communication with your children, you know what I'm saying? That's so absolutely needed when we're talking about raising productive members of this society. And that's not a cultural thing. It's not a race thing. This is just needed. Being able to learn
right.
how to speak and communicate. What happened? All that used to happen around the dinner table. That used to happen around the breakfast table. When breakfast
right.
got done,
finances were talked about.
Right. Everybody sat. Around during dinner time, that was a situation. Dinner time was the time that people got together with those in their household, and you had a conversation. It was like a check-in. It was a check-in.
Right.
You know, so these are the things that are happening, you know, and not enough prayer. I don't think enough prayer happens for our brothers or even in our homes.
In the
I
family
really
unit.
Mm-hmm. And in the family structure.
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't think it's enough prayer that's going on. And I think that's what's happened is because of that, we've entertained so many things because accountability, if you're not accountable, you're not going to hold anyone else accountable. You're not going to be accountable yourself. So what's going on is a lot of our brothers and fathers just have not been held accountable for their actions a lot of times. And a lot of times what's happened is as mothers and as sisters first, mothers and sisters first, that we're not holding our counterparts accountable. We're not telling them the truth. Got to be able to tell them the truth and then let them carry themselves. You know, somebody told me years ago, I was in North Carolina, and it was an older woman, and she told me, she said, never get in the way of a man being a man. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, you never become the provider for the man. Never do that. And I thought, how interesting that she would say that to me. I was very young then. I didn't have a clue. I probably was like,
right.
like 26 or so. And she said that to me. It sounded good, you know, but it really didn't mean a lot to me until I got a little bit older. And I saw situations and dynamics where people would tell a man, you don't got to work. You'll be okay. We'll get through this. I got you. I'll do this for you. And that's not what we should be doing. We should be encouraging our sons and each other, period, into who we are and in our path to be not just self-sustained, but have the ability to grow. I've met men on a caliber who were millionaires, but they could go in their backyard and plant lettuce and onions. They could build a house. They could live off the fat of the land and live good. I've seen this personally. Mm-hmm. I've seen this personally, and you would not think so. And I remember asking these brothers in these different groups and men that I've gotten to mentor and to work with, and I was truly blessed, but I would ask them, and they would say, because my mother raised me to be resourceful and to work. My
right.
mother raised me to be resourceful and then to work. And that was just so important. That's a quality that we all have to have and that we should encourage. Integrity, resourcefulness, and work, you know, should always be at the base of what we're doing. Yep. So, guys, that was just a topic of where we are and a direction of what we've got going on. How are you doing this week, Monica? What's been going on with you?
Always spiritually growing. I think if I'm not growing, if I'm not at some point being challenged, then
mm-hmm.
I'm dead. And apparently I'm still here in this plane. So I'm not dead. I'm growing. And as everyone else, I've been running across a lot of different things. I've seen a lot of, I've had a few different encounters. The other day I went to go wash my vehicle and clean it out, and I ran across three young men out there at the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit was just ministering through me to them. And it's ironic because you were talking about, you know, like the family dynamic. One of these young men happened to be Hispanic. The other one happened to be a Caucasian white male homosexual. And then there was another one who happened to have Asperger's. They all fall into synchronicity with my life growing up as a young person. You know, my godfather, I don't know, whatever the season is and right now, I just seem to have been thinking about the father heads in my family. And, you know, my godfather, he was a homosexual man, but he was a man in every right. He worked, he did these things that he was supposed to do, but he also mastered a feminine energy. Has nothing to do with the gender or anything like that. So I thought about that. And I'm sitting here in front of these young men, and they're, you know, we're ministering, we're talking about, you know, unity and God and family unit. And all of them were able, like, it was just the sight of being able to stand there in front of these three men, Godheads, who completely woke. The young man who had Asperger's had this skeptical energy where he just was like, well, what is it? What's going on? Who's this lady? What is she here for? What is she doing? And how, like, how does she even know what she knows about them, you know? And so I'm looking at him. He was, you know, he began to tell me what was going on with him. He grew up with the past, you know, with a bunch of pastors for family, and that whole hypocritical, he felt like they were like hypocrites, you know. There was this whole religion thing. So we had talked about that. And at the end, you know, all three of these young men are out. They're working. They're trying to be responsible. Some came from, you know, family backgrounds where they were both mom and dad in the home and there was love. Some came from single parent homes, but there was still love. And exactly the point where you were talking about, you know, coddling, like not necessarily carrying, because we got to carry our men. We shouldn't be coddling them. We should carry them in our hearts, in our prayer, you know, in that sense. So that's what's been going on with me. Not only that, I ran across some devastating news. We have, well, I have a, more so of a friend. He's a friend that I knew from, well, I know his, this, the young man and his baby, let's just say that. They were gunned down at a cookout in North Carolina. A young man, a father, and an infant child, gunned down. Mm-hmm. His name is Darian. And the baby's name, I believe, was Darius. I know they're both D's. But they are related, directly related to one of my girlfriends from college. And she is just at a loss, praying for the baby mama, for the mother of the child. But the fact that we are out here, even as men and as women, like, I don't know what our role should be anymore and how we're ministering to our men and trying to keep them calm. Who, what woman is responsible for the man who decided it was okay to go gun down another man with his child in his lap at a cookout? Who's responsible for that?
Well, it's certainly not a woman. No, it's certainly not a woman. It's certainly not his mother.
Right.
No.
Right. You know, no, every man is responsible for their own actions. I'm just like, wow, like I'm watching the community of the things that are going on. It's possible now for people to shoot. And,
well, that's the thing about it, because, you know, right now it's, that's where I've been at this week. It's very draining. I've been thinking about a lot of the things that are happening in so many different communities, you know, with the schools and the school shootings, what's going on with our children. And it doesn't matter whether we're in elementary school or high school. The mass shootings that's happened around the churches and leaders, the stores, it's like, you know, where can you go? And my experience has taught me, pay attention. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what God is saying. Because the truth of the matter is that evil never left from this earth.
Right.
Evil has been right here all along. There's nothing different about it. I've heard people say, oh, my goodness, it's the end of the world. God is coming soon. Jesus is coming. But look, evil has already been here. It's already been here. It's been here a long time doing what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing that we're seeing so much of is just a very desperate move to distract us from what God is really saying. It's a very desperate thing. When and this is what I found out from my experience, when my mind takes me to a place where I become so consumed about what's wrong and not what's right.
Right.
And when I say consumed, I mean not in a state of prayer, because I'm constantly wanting to be in a state of prayer and concern. I want to be in a place of empathy because I have compassion for people. But when I become so consumed that it drains me and now I'm tired from it, and I can't get to the meat of what I know God has for me every single day, that's first my communication with the Holy Spirit. I can't do without that. When I wake up in the morning, it's somewhere in my day, in the middle of my work, no matter what I'm doing, I got to remember and have that moment that God is saying to me, I'm still here. I'm like, hey, Dad, are you still here? He's like, yep, I'm still here. I got you. And he does that to just a very different few things that keeps me in my harmony, my peace. So when I'm in the place of being consumed about it, I know something's wrong. And God is trying to give us a message. And so I have to stop and get back to, it's hard. And so when I think about the families where the crisis has hit, especially with our family and friends up in Baltimore right now, the way that the crisis hits, it's hard. It's easy for me to say get back to the rhythm of things. I wouldn't be able to bounce back that quick if it hit my household that way. But I have to remember being consumed is not it. Consumed by the Holy Spirit is
in place.
Being consumed by the Holy Spirit is pressing in prayer, pressing in to get understanding, pressing in to say, Father, what you got to say? What are you saying? Sometimes it's just a matter of opening my Bible. I really do believe that a lot of this is going on that we're going through right now because not enough people open up their Bible, and I'm one of them. I know I'm one of them. Because, see, I can pop up
number two.
A Bible screen or something up on the thing, and, you know, and then I get to open up my Bible on my computer while I'm at work and read a couple of scriptures here and there. And but really sitting in my solitude with the word, people are really angry out here, and it's an activated anger. It's an activated anger. When we think about the government, we think about the crisis, we think about the economical downslide and the cycle that we're in. We've been going through this cycle now for a long time. The political leaders and those who make the law and sit in the government seats, they call it New World Order. And we've heard so much about this New World Order. I remember Kennedy giving a speech on the New World Order back in the day. And
right,
then we've had so many other leaders who spoke on New World Order. Okay. And there's a cycle of what's happening in our finances and the order of how we live. And there's a cycle about it. This is a history. It refers to that new period in IFS history where something that's evidencing dramatic change and the way the world and the political thought and the balance of power plays out. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories on this, too, but I'm not leaning into that. I'm leaning into understanding what this order was and why it's so comfortable for those who are leaders to even speak about it and manifest it in our lives. This New World Order is just what it is. Harry Truman used the phrase New World Order. Harry Truman first spoke about it. Franklin Roosevelt spoke about it. They spoke about it. These were the League of the Nations. They spoke about this and defining what it was going to be and why. These were the people, the forefathers, Woodrow Wilson. He was over the League of Nations, too. And they were talking about this New World Order because they were trying to bring an order to the situation. But see, this order didn't include everybody. It didn't include everybody. And I could go into all of that if you want to, but I'm not. But what it did mean was that there was going to be a change. That there was going to be a disambiguation of change that was going to govern what we did, how we did it, and then it was supposed to handle any internal crisis and economical downfalls and downturns. This is what the American leadership wanted us to believe. But we see a lot of different things that are happening. So on the cycle of the New World Order, when we talk about our economic status and finances, there's always been a downturn. There's been a history right here in America of the cycle. You know, the Great Depression, there was the Wall Street,
massacre.
The different massacres. But there's been, these cycles have happened for years.
For years.
I mean, oh my goodness, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Up and down the coast.
Right, and then recession. And then you have the expansion that's growing, and then you have the recession. And then you have that, what they call that recessionary trough or the business peak. Like right now, if anybody's paying attention, you see a lot of boom. Well, when it comes to small businesses, you see a lot of boom there. But then there's the expansion and then the peak and then prosperity and then the recession, then depression. And then it starts again. And then you have the steady growth, but now you've got the depression right there in the trough. And then it goes to recovery, to expansion, and then it starts to cycle all over again.
All over again, yep.
Right. So now this is part of the New World Order. It's part of that cycle. It's absolutely part of that cycle. So when we think about it right now and what's been going on in the middle of this recession, the income falls, sales fall, productions fall, unemployment falls, and it's a vicious cycle. And we're supposed to stay in this vicious cycle. But see, the difference is, and the reason why I'm speaking about that is because this is what's going on. See, these vicious cycles, because the population increases the violence and unstableness emotionally and mentally. Because now we're dealing with a lot of communities that there's a lot of undiagnosed situations. And then we already have people that's very present in this world. So now this is, and what is the solution? That's the issue. The solution starts with us.
Unity.
And absolutely, it really does. It starts with us and being about our business. What are we going to do? Because the one thing that we know, and God told us this, when we think about Adam male and Eve female, God was saying to them, first go ahead, work the land, do what you're supposed to do. Let's not fall into weakness and be fruitful. Multiply. He wasn't just talking about children. He was talking about being fruitful and multiply. He's saying, hey, I'm giving this to you. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it?
He tells us
all the time, even when we hear about the parable of the talent, it's what you're going to do with it. You understand? We hear about that parable all the time. I think it's in Matthew's, the parable of the talents. And it was teaching us how, it really was teaching us how to fight poverty. That's what that parable was about. When we think about biblical exposition, it was about teaching us how to fight poverty. And that's understanding the times that you were in, understanding the cycle. And if you were on a roller coaster and you're going up and down, you know there's a certain part of the roller coaster you're going uphill. And you really don't got to hold on as much because you're going up. And then there's the place where it plateaus and just goes across, you know, just evenly. And then there's that dip. When you're about to hit that dip, what you're gonna brace yourself. You're going to brace yourself. I remember you telling me about this analogy you heard, especially when it comes to raising your children, that you may be in a car driving with them. When they're about to hit a certain curve, you got to lean in with them.
Right.
You got to lean in with them. Same thing.
Exactly. You can't lose them in a turn.
Right. Don't lose it in a turn. So look at here. We can't lose it in a dip. We can't lose it in a
dip. The turn, the curve, the teeter, the totter, whatever it is, we're supposed to be rocking and rolling. If we can balance the rock and roll with everything else that we're doing, we should be able to, like, what we're concentrating on, it's supposed to be a part of our gift.
Right.
And right now, the enemy is at hand because, again, and I always say this, the enemy does not want us to think.
Right.
When we're in the middle of a crisis and we can think, we will become lucrative. People have done it. People have gone through this pandemic and have not needed. They was able to eat and eat good and be successful. Businesses started flourishing and go, like, there was blessings in this because God does not create sickness. He uses it for the glory.
Right.
He will see
Absolutely.
You through some things. And
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
For these, you know, yeah, you know, and you, like, here's the thing. We're women, and I've always said the family unit is the most important thing. So as the women, our responsibility is to make sure we are setting our sons up. A mother's job is never done. It ain't wait till they're 18 and this is it. They leave the house. Even after they leave the house, How are they being set up? As mamas, are we setting them up? Is it just they just graduate from college or graduate from high school? You know, they play football and, you know, whatever sport they play, and then that's it. And then after they graduate, and you can post their diploma on your wall.
Well, let's go a step further, because just not everybody is designed to play football or sports or anything like that. Are we preparing,
right, whatever it is, though, this is what I'm saying.
Are we preparing our children to do spiritual warfare?
Think, exactly, strategize.
Do they, are they
being prepared for that?
To do spiritual warfare. When someone walks up to our children and say, hey, let's go over here. Plenty of young girls and young men have been led straight to the gangway. How about that?
Yep.
Because no one sat them down to instill strength in them to understanding spiritual warfare. A lot of our sons and daughters make decisions out of weakness because no one taught them how to do spiritual warfare. They've gone to church and lived in a church. They knew how to shout hallelujah and pray and do all kinds of stuff, but were never taught how to use their minds at all. I have met people who were supposed to be, whether mentally or physically, at a disadvantage. I remember the blind man I met? Blind man called me,
right,
and had so much insight about what was going on, and he had so much peace and joy and happiness and couldn't see nothing.
Yes.
But he was able to see me and had never met me.
Because you don't need sight to have a vision.
Right. We got to have spiritual sight. That's the foundation of it all. So anybody who's out here listening, and this isn't, you know, I have a special place for the young people there in Chicago, Baltimore, and Fort Lauderdale, you young adults, but I want to say this. If you are doing anything outside of the Holy Spirit, stop. And stop immediately. You are absolutely hearing what I'm saying. If you are doing anything outside of the Holy Spirit, stop. Just stop. If you don't know what that means, stop anyway. That means you're doing something wrong. That means you're doing something wrong. I speak strongly about that because you don't have safety until you are right dead smack in the middle of God's will for your life. You may not even know what it is, but that's where your safety is. That's where safety is. I'm telling you, I've walked these streets, so I know. I've walked these streets, and when I tell you I walked them, I'm telling you I walked them in the gray zone. For everyone who understands what that may mean, I walked in the gray zone, so I know what I'm talking about. So guess what? If we know that we're moving and we have the Holy Spirit on our side, look, we're protected no matter what comes. We are protected and we have the victory no matter what comes. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that you're homeless. I don't care that you ain't got no car. You ain't got no job. Somebody just shot you, just stabbed you, just raped you, just molested you, just molested your children, then raped your son. If you are moving with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get through that. You're going to get past it. And don't put yourself in a place of blame, but get it right now. See, because if you didn't know,
forgive yourself and keep going.
Yeah. If you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know. And it's all right to just be waking up.
There you go. That's right. If you didn't know, now you know.
Yep.
Now you know.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in there.
Yes. No, true indeed, though. True indeed. Because if you didn't know, now you know. Just stop. Think about it. You got some man laid up in your house that ain't supposed to be there? Pray. You got to go open up your mouth and say one word. Just start praying. Throw a couple of hallelujah, thank you, Jesus around. Look, let me tell you, When I was younger, Monica was, you was probably, what, about five, then I had this man in my life that was not supposed to be there. And one of these spiritual women told me I wasn't in church or anything like that. If I was saved, then I guess I was, but obviously I was. And because God certainly had his hands on me, because this was a very dangerous man. And the woman told me, she said, get to praying. I bet you he leave then. And sure enough, he didn't want nothing to do with me. And I thank God because I was safe. I hear a lot. I don't know if I'm hearing a lot of noise there. Somebody was on. Okay. So I did begin to pray, because that was the solitude. That was the solid place that I had. What I understood about that is that I didn't have to use it, you know, like it was a weapon in my pocket. I had to live.
Right, you had to slap him with the book of the Bible.
Right,
I had to speak the words.
I had to live it, and from that point forward, God watched who would come into my life, because he taught me, and then I was taught who and how I let people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's just really important. I'm just saying that because people who are listening, and you may run across this session or segment or episode, of course, Blog Talk Radio, or of course YouTube or anything like that in the future. And if you are in a compromising situation, pray. Don't argue with people. Don't create a fight. Don't create static or drama or anything like that. But begin to pray and change the dynamics of how you walk. And God will do the rest. I always say that. God will do the rest. If you're in an abusive situation, think before you open your mouth and make decisions, and pray. Pray. Bring yourself into alignment with peace. And God will lead you on your place of escape. He'll show you how it's done. He'll tell you exactly what to do. There's also a thing about discretion, and I don't even know who this is for, but being discreet about moves that you are about to make is so important. Don't tell everybody your business. If you're in a compromising situation, and this is for men and women, you're in a compromising situation that you know might get physical, that may cost you your life or some bodily harm, get quiet until you get to the safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Get quiet, yep, until you get to the safe place. And I'm not talking about deception or deceit or anything like that, but get quiet until you get to the safe place. Be very careful about that. Be careful about that. Be careful about who you let in your life and how you let them in. Remember, God brings people in your life, but so does the devil. So does the devil. So be mindful and very careful about that. If you're in a situation where someone is trying to tell you who you are in God and who you're supposed to be and who you're not supposed to be, you got to be careful about that. Because God would never speak to no one about you more than he's talking to you. That's a whole lot of time that God's spending with somebody else talking about you. That's a lot. I've always believed that. I don't believe that God is going to spend that kind of amount of time talking to somebody else about the revelation of my life. He's trying to talk to me. He wants to talk to me. Someone, you could come and confirm something. You could confirm a truth in my life, but you can't come and speak something to me. I respect what I respect, but I'm not going to let anyone believe a lie. I'm not going to lie. You understand? So, but we have to be careful about that and what we allow people to speak in our lives, especially when the borderlines on putting you down and degradation. But just overall putting you down, that's abuse. That's abusive. Calling you into a place out of character. You don't have to be cursed at to have a curse put upon you when somebody calls you out of character. Somebody says, oh, well, you know, this is what you should be doing. And God told me you do this. And you're supposed to be doing that. You shouldn't be over there doing that. No, no. You let that come from leadership that you have a relationship with if you have a question about it. You have to be really, really careful about that. And, oh, people, please be careful when you go in as a leader. Please, men and women, please be careful as who you go get as a leader. Please know who you want to let lead you. Don't look at the size of their house, their car, none of that. That means nothing. That means nothing. Look at how they're walking. Look at their level of peace. Look at their level of peace. Look and see how they pay their bills. Do they pay bills?
Right.
Are they paying their bills? Are they honest about how they're paying their bills? Because if they're not honest about how they're paying their own bills, they're not going to be honest with your money either. They're not going to be honest with your money. Every leader and mentor that I have ever had, I was able to attest to their responsibility financially, whether they were rich or not. And I was also able to verify what they're doing, not just in the community, but what they're doing with other people in the community. I was able to verify those things. So you must do that. We all must verify that. This isn't just for women, but I'm talking to all of us in the kingdom, men and women, male and female.
Yes.
Verify what you're doing. If you don't know how to try the spirit by the spirit, look for integrity. Look for things that you can put your finger on and you know that it's truth. Look for freedom and look for liberty. Look for freedom and look for liberty. If you don't see freedom and liberty, then something's wrong. Something is wrong. You must be held accountable. If you can't speak to those situations, then something is wrong. We have a few guests on with us this evening. I know that we have a couple of comments and some topics from some of our people, you know, and I don't know if anybody wants to, if you want to hop on and join in the conversation or speak with us or talk to us, but we would be delighted. We're just going to take a quick break with Ebony Janae and play Grateful and come back in. Let us know if you have any questions or comments, okay? All right.
I'm just grateful today. I'm just grateful today. counting items. Oh, it sure is nice. Sure is nice. And that's why I wake up grateful every day. Covered in favor, doused in grace. And only good vibes rolling through my way. Thankful that the Lord woke me up today. Got a loving family and solid friends. Ones that are right for me till the end. Car and a crib, I ain't laid on rent. All of my blessings I ever intend. Say I haven't seen a world.
Yes, I love that song. I love it.
Yeah.
That was Ebony Janae, guys. Ebony Janae and Grateful. I wake up grateful every single day. We have a lot to be grateful for. We really do. In spite of everything that we've seen in our communities, in spite of the already defeated devil, in spite of, we do have a lot to be grateful for. And I would just really like to just kind of focus on that and tap into that. But let me do this. I wanted to make sure that, you know, everyone knows. Like, now, our team in Chicago and Baltimore, they come by way and joining us very differently. So they do have to mute. But if you want to share, you've got something that you want to share, or you want to just post a question, you can post it directly on the website and open up, or you can raise your hand and let us know that you have a question, or if you want to even comment on what we're talking about. If you feel that you want an opportunity to be a guest here on Big Girl Talk Radio, or you have something you feel like you want to share with the community, absolutely just simply let us know. Also, we just want to, again, announce and remind or everyone that follows us, whether it's on Facebook or in Teams or Slack, that we are opening Hourly Network for use, and just get in touch with us and so that we can work out the details and let us know what time and the hour that we have available, and we could go over that, okay? Yeah, yep. So back to what I was talking. Yeah, thank you, Monica, for letting me interject with that and put that out there. Also, I wanted to just add about the sea moss and healing for your body. We're going to be, Monday morning is definitely going to be the topic for health. And what I was able to learn from my daughter, from Monica, about not just holistic healing, but natural healing. And taking the things that God has already given us to heal our bodies. Everyone knows that I've been on a journey to not just lose weight, but to improve my health, you know, overall. And it has been a struggle. It's been a real battle. And I want to present myself not just holy, but rightfully holy and healthy. And so that's just really important to me. It's very important. And I know that that's a topic that a lot of us all can share, and we all have something in common about that. Men and women alike, we do have that in common. And so we want to support that. So we're going to bring a little bit more education about it really, really soon. Hit us with some topics and let us know what you want to talk about and what you want to hear about and what's on your mind so that we can gather that together.
Mind.
Yeah. We have Miss Doris Hughes Green with us too. So guys, just in case you don't know who she is, you've got to understand that there are people in our communities that are doing so much and so much more than we thought. So Divine Divas Ministries, let me tell you, not only does she support in the community, but she also has services that she supports throughout the community as well. She has a spiritual consultation service. She does the business service. She also has a radio show. She also has a line where she advertises for the sponsors who supports, and also she offers a segments on her guests for her show. And live on air, you can do segments as well. She also does couples counseling as well and one-on-one sessions also. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm going to post that. I'm going to ask Letitia and thank you, Carly, to share the Divine Ministries website throughout Teams and Slack, so that everyone mm-hmm. can have it, and in the meeting over on Zoom, and also share it on the Big Girl Talk. I know that we shared it there too. But we also want to just support, you know, what Minister Hughes is doing, what Pastor Hughes is doing, Pastor Hughes Green, Doris Hughes Green, guys, but I just want to talk about the book, because the book is self-explanatory. You got to pick it up. Please pick the book up, okay? It's From Cotton Picking to Dream Weaving by Doris Hughes Green. You can find it on Amazon. You'll find it on Big Girl Talk Radio. Pick it up. But there's a vision. She has a vision about sowing seed and creating more for the community. She also has the Carlos Foundation. You have to visit to understand Carlos and Friends. You absolutely have to visit and see exactly what we're talking about here when we talk about Carlos and Friends. So if you need to contact Doris Hughes Green in her ministry and what she's doing with the Carlos and Friends Foundation and organization, you can reach her mm-hmm. at DorisHughesGreen@gmail.com. That's Doris, DorisHughesES, Green, GREEN, @gmail.com. You can also reach her by phone at 253-208-2190. Again, 253-208-2190. This is really important because I know a lot of our followers and listeners really like to give to a good cause and donate to a good cause. This is one. So you already hear me saying it and letting you know that this is a great place to start with support. You're looking for a great place to give your money to that really does move in the community and do in the community. This is it. This is it. You can go to the website also at DivineDivasMinistry.com. DivineDivasMinistry.com. So we wanted to open up because we had a few people, Doris, and we may bring you on if you feel like speaking, but I had a few people tell us from our Big Girl Talk followers and our Momentum and Purpose group, and another young lady who's not in the Momentum and Purpose group, the meaning of diva. They and mm-hmm. someone went as far as divination and then diva. And I just wanted to make sure, and let me be very clear when I say this, because the world has taken so much from our father. You know how people say the word nigger or negro? And then we've had artists who say nigger and negro, and they've turned it around. So I'm not comparing that to diva, but I'm just using that as an example. I'm using that as an example. The mindset and the perception of a person is one thing. What you claim and what you bind and break the curses off is another. I don't listen to certain songs without binding and breaking the curses off. I have to. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I really do. But I want to say this, that diva is by the world standards, diva means that a person is difficult, temperamental, demanding. The word diva is a prima donna. It's become such a derogatory and a sexist description of a woman. You hear people, oh, she's a diva. The diva, it's turned the conversation and the topic into a negative undertone. But diva is really defined as a woman who behaves as if she is very special or important. So, guys, understand this in the contrast now, because I'm about to go someplace with this. She has a reputation of finery and discipline. She expects the best. Diva was formed as a good name. It's an Italian origin of most celebrated females, not just singers, who had outstanding talents and visions, not just singers now. So we want to be really careful about what we define and what it means. So look up the word. Look it up. People with a great personality and fashion, so Islamically, because everyone knows that I grew up and was raised and I was taught Islamically. And when we learned about the definition of diva, it was being poised, no nonsense, unacceptable, and uncompromising of anything that was unnecessary. So the devil would really like to turn that around, because how dare any one of us walk with so much poise? How dare anyone walk so uncompromisingly, untolerating things that are unnecessary? Dignity.
Yes, dignity.
Dignity was another word. So we have to be careful about what we allow the world to tell us. We have to be very, very careful, composed of a serious manner, being worthy of honor and respect. These were all the terms that used to be related to diva. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful.
Yes.
Because words are is very, very tricky. It's very tricky.
Words
and
when
the devil stole from us, the devil could take us in our words. When some people say woman, tore the word down. Women feel like the word woman means secondary. Do you understand that? I've heard people say, well, no, don't call me a woman, because that's a third class. Woman is just a third class citizen. I've heard women say that. Women in ministry.
Yeah. Yep.
Women in ministry. They don't want to be called woman or women or even be defined as a woman, because they think that women is weak. Define me as my mantle. I've heard them say that. I've heard a lot of women say that. Define me as my mantle. So I'm just giving an example of how what we speak and what we say, so as a man speak.
And how we
so
think.
So he think.
So as a
and
man
if you
think.
Tell yourself, right. If you tell yourself that you're lowly, if you tell yourself that you're difficult to get along with, if you tell yourself that you have a bad attitude or a bad persona,
Yep.
I was having a conversation with a young lady about the Queen of Sheba, and when she traveled to visit with Solomon. And she had to travel in from Ethiopia. And she bought gifts to King Solomon. She bought frankincense, which was one of the most expensive things that you could think of during that time. It was extremely expensive. It was a very exotic and expensive gift. But the Queen of Sheba, they called her a diva. They also called her a woman of great wealth and means. And she also, she was supposed to have been a woman of unacceptable, not just great wealth and riches, but she was she moved with so much dignity and pride that even the king, King Solomon himself, decided he wasn't going to give her no water. He didn't want to give her water. And I never understood why.
Well, I think in that one, you know, there were some of the things that he had going on. You know, he saw too much for his liking, because in the kingdom, in that particular, with that particular situation, all the servants even looked like royalty, because they were under servitude, not enslaved.
Well, right, he wanted her. He wanted her, and she was uncompromising. She was uncompromising. So now, one of the things that happened, we do know, because the books tell us, that he wanted her so badly that he had to trick her into his bed. So he left her without water, knowing that she needed to have water to drink. This woman of great means and riches, when she visited his courts, he deprived her. Let me tell you why I'm sharing that. There are many, many situations that we will find ourselves and have our name and what is defined by us tainted, whether it's a woman or a title or a status or a term or a descriptive term or words. And the devil has already said it and designed it, that we are to belittle each other and then think of words to belittle each other. What we speak to each other defines what we say and defines how we speak about each other and what we think. So we have to be careful. If this was present then, when the Queen of Sheba traveled all the way from Ethiopia to visit with the king, it is certainly present now, is what I'm trying to say. This woman, this female, traveled. And I'm not talking about the physical travel, but I'm talking about the lifetime spiritual travel. There had to be a certain amount of strength to move in that great wealth, especially during those times, to be this queen of great wealth and riches, that the king wanted her so badly that he had to trick her into his bed and get her pregnant. Now, that's a whole lot of deception. That's a whole lot of depriving. So if, and what my point is, guys, is this. The same thing is happening right now. How words are used and how things are taken from us to change what we think and feel about what we're doing and what our mission is and what it could become. And what it could become. I'm not quite sure. Doris, are you with us? Can you hear us, Doris? Doris, are you with us? She may not be with us. She may be listening. Doris Nixon, we'll bring you back as a guest, okay? We'll certainly bring you back as a guest in the future. Absolutely. Yes. Can you hear us, Doris? Okay, we'll bring you back as a guest in the future. But I just wanted to define that. I wanted to define that for everyone who's on with us right now and being careful about what we take compared to doing our real true work on the history of what we call ourselves, the names of it, because if that's the case, none of us would live in America. We wouldn't even be saying the word America. You understand what I'm saying? Because the name America derived from a very evil, if you want to call it that. Yeah, so, yeah, we want to be careful.
Oh, Lord, that's a rabbit hole right there, because I was just sitting thinking about how the snakes are projected as evil and how it can be projected as evil. But then there are other artifacts that go date back to where the snakes and the cats and the horns on the head are not necessarily subjected to evil. they represent, you know, different deities and things of that nature that's supposed to,
right,
like,
well,
have.
Well, see, those deities have fell away from God. That's why they became evil. They have fell away from the teachings of God and the Holy Spirit. That's why deities that don't have not repented and fallen and brought themselves together under the Holy Spirit. This is what's happened. See, the trickery is on, because that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we have to understand that, because the name that the United States was founded under a snake. And because the people that were natives of the land, they were practicing a scorpion religion. They were practicing a scorpion faith. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so when we think about names, I'm only bringing that up not to open up that whole can of worms, but this is what, mm-hmm. what it is. We have to understand that when we think about words and things of that nature, I'm not talking about ideas and traditions and stuff like that, but words itself. We have
right,
to understand
because
the
words
origin.
Are selves.
Yeah.
Word
mm-hmm.
is living.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you yep. think back, if God was the Word and the Word was God and God was with the Word and the Word was God?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, he, you know, is taking the cue from Medea.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That right there by
mm-hmm.
itself lets you know that the Word is living. And if we are
right.
fragments of
mm-hmm.
God, we are certainly our Father's children, as they we as you know, the saying goes. Then
yes.
what we say, what we concentrate on, what we think is a direct manifestation of word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Yeah, oh, very much so.
It's
very
a thought
so.
That comes out physically manifested, whether it's written on paper, whether it's being said out of somebody's mouth, whether it's being sung.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vibration
mm-hmm.
that takes place that allows this thing to come out as a form of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
to be able to be projected or written down on paper, something happens in the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking a certain particular way, then you are going to bring that negative vibration, words, spell your way.
Yeah, everything has to be
you
subject
have to look at things
under
that
the Holy
are connected.
Spirit.
You,
yeah,
yeah,
it's got to be. I don't care what you're doing and how you're doing it. If you're not subject under the Holy Spirit, And you don't believe that God is who God is, and you haven't exercised Jesus, don't play with it. Don't play with it, because, see, you could take logic and make it seem sensible. You could take any, you could logic anything on this world, in this world. You could logic, look, I don't do a pimps make it logical to pimp women. How about that? You understand drug dealers make
right.
it logical to sell some dope. You understand? So we can't take
right.
things that we really don't know a whole lot about and talk about, you know, logically. You have to be careful when we talk about things like that and vibrations and all that kind of stuff, because there's evil vibrations and then there's godly vibrations. You understand? If you're evil and
right.
good. And there's, look here now, there's the trinity of, as we understand, the evil, good, and God. We better know what we're talking about. You understand? Because everything that look good ain't good. Everything that appears good is not God. And every good thing and every good deed is not God. We better know that. We better know it, because sometimes it's a trap. Sometimes it's a trap, so we have to be very, very careful. I've always said this. I've always said it, and I stand on it. If it's not something under the influence of the Holy Spirit, uh-uh.
And if you have not been introduced formally.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Stay away from
yep.
that. Run.
Yeah.
How does this tie into the fathers, the Godheads that are sleeping? We, again, as women, have an ode and have a responsibility to be praying these men and father figures and Godhead figures. Supposed to be praying them down. If nothing else is happening.
We have to stand in the gap, yep, and then show up as queens. Oh, yeah. While we're talking about that, if we don't show up as queens, then there's no kings. What are we talking about? We must show up as queens. We must show up as queens, because if there's no queens, there's no kings.
Exactly.
Because a real queen is not going to talk to anything less than a king. You
right.
Understand what I'm saying? You're not going to support below your status. You're not going to go support no imp.
Mm-hmm.
Or nobody moving on the dark side. Not a queen in the kingdom. No. No, not going to do that. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful about what we're doing and what we're saying. You know, and deception is out there. Look, people, deception is out there. Men and women, guess what? You will run across people who are so gifted with the gift of gab and the smooth talking that you will find your head spinning and wouldn't have a clue. So put everything under the direction and the duration of the Holy Spirit. When I say duration, I mean for the long haul, for the long run. Make sure that
duration, everything,
yes, is absolutely connected with the Holy Spirit. I know that we've about gone over our time. It is now 9:30. Family, we are out here. Monica, what do you have to send our people off with? And anything else on your mind, young lady?
Rest. Rest is essential. It is important.
Yes.
Rest. Because I don't know if you hear me over here. I'm struggling. My body said, make a snore, suck the paint off the wall. But my eyeballs are saying, stay here on the line and talk and do what you do, because this is comfortable. And I get to do this comfortably, and I get to have the audience. Shout out to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I love you all. Shout out to my love. You know, he's still going through a process, you know, but we're going to make it through it. You know, definitely. Shout out to all the fathers, uncles, all the men standing in the gap. Mm-hmm. All of the Godhead figures, even in the church, because it's even a job and it's a responsibility to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a responsibility to be responsible for other people's households.
Yes.
You know, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Shout
mm-hmm.
out to my son, my sunshine. That's SONSHINE.
Yes.
I remember.
You doing all these shout outs and everything like you a celebrity.
Right. Got to have the shout outs. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to those who are buying the CMOS. And don't forget, those who are on the app, those who are in the messenger line, or those who are on the Facebook page, don't forget to tap on the fundraiser for the young men. Shout out to Boys to Men Mentoring Program, because they're out here, they're raising money, they're taking these young men out here for exposure, getting them exposed to we'll be laughing. It is. Shout out, Dagger, shout out.
You feel me?
You got to have a shout out. People got to be recognized. Being not acknowledged hurts. That's another thing that I've been learning. Like, you can't not acknowledge people. That's just,
well, no,
you know.
That's true. Absolutely.
And
so, and we honestly really, really want to and try to support as many people, not just in the community, but all across the board. There's so many different things that we work on and so many different types of people and groups that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, definitely.
PBN
you know,
Network.
Right.
You know, you over there
and
doing your thing over
Darren,
there.
Look, Darren and Julian.
Pinpoint. Yeah.
And over at Pinpoint, you know, our brokers, listen, we love you. We love you for keeping us in the game and doing this. We love what you're doing in the community and for other companies and businesses and bringing that money, the money.
Indeed. And shout out to the Gardeas.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I do, and I really want to do an episode with her, and so that our listening audience would know who Jamie the Dark Goddess is and what she's meant to us and for us, because she's just been absolutely wonderful and absolutely just outstanding, absolutely outstanding. She's made a lot of compromises and sacrifices for us, so I just shout out to Jamie Goddess, absolutely. To both the Goddess, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Oh, all right. So we are out of here. We need to do a topic on that. We absolutely do. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Thank you. We're going to tune out.
A topic
on
the shout-outs?
No. We have a topic on you need to go to sleep. Because she's been burning. She's been burning it up too much. I thought that I was doing it, but we have to relearn you.
Yes.
I'm fixing to learn you some more. How about
I'm
that?
Fixing to learn me some more. Fixing to learn me. Fixing to learn me.
No. All right. That's enough, guys. We out of here. God bless you.
With it. No.
Okay. No. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. We love you. Thank you for tuning in to Big Talk Radio. We'll be back on next Saturday at 8 o'clock and on
and
Monday
happy
morning.
Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Monday mornings, Health and Money Matters. Come and find out about this health, wealth, and money wealth. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.